I entitled the sermon this morning, "He Who Has Ears, Let Him Hear." I was brought up on a home farm where I loved being outside in the country air. And one of the things as a farm we did was to grow fields of wheat and barley. And many times the fields were entered into a competition to see who would get the best crop of wheat or barley. And this particular year, we won the competition with a field of wheat. And I can remember looking at it, and there was not a weed to be seen. And the crop was evenly spread throughout the field. And when it was ready for harvest, it was a joy to go in and combine it. And when I think back as to how the crop looked, it reminded me of heaven, the kingdom of God, where everything was perfect. And all the perfect heads of wheat reminded me of all God's people singing and praising him. But wait a moment. In this parable that Jesus is talking about, it is not a perfect field of wheat. And indeed, it shows us clearly another field where part of the harvest is going to be tied up and burnt. In this parable, Jesus uses a similar setting to the first parable in this chapter of Matthew. For once again, we have the sowing of the seed, but this time the landowner is central to the storyline. And we see where the landowner sows the good seed, but during the night, the enemy sows tares in among the good seed. And as the seeds start to sprout, the servants see the tares among the good seed. Now, tares and weeds that look very similar to the wheat, but are really a type of ryegrass, as you can see there on the PowerPoint. And that will take some goodness from the ground that would have helped the wheat to blossom. The servants are very perturbed about this, and they ask the master, "What is going on, that there are now weeds among the good seed, and should they go out and pull up all the weeds?" Now, if you're a farmer, you will know only too well that if you go out and pull the weeds, you will also pull up some of the good seed as well. And the master knows this too well, because the tares look similar to the wheat at this stage, and in trying to weed the field would only reduce the harvest at the end. At least this way, every plant of wheat survives, and in time the tares and the wheat would be clearly known when it comes to harvest, and the tares would be removed and burned and taken, and the good wheat taken and put into the master's barn. Well, that's the parable for today, folks, but we might just read that, and because it is a well-known scripture, we might just read it and pass over it, thinking that we know what that means. But you know, even the disciples didn't know what that meant. And surely we can see that these parables are a program of sowing, growing, and harvesting. In other words, a program of recruiting new citizens for the kingdom and sowing the word of the kingdom or the gospel. And the program will be opposed by a powerful enemy intent on limited production. In between the parable and explanation, Jesus throws in two other wee small parables, but I'm not going to touch on them today because Craig is going to look at them next week, so don't miss that. But you see, at this time, the people had rejected Jesus, and this was part of the prophecy spoke of in the Psalms, which promised that the Lord would come to them speaking in parables, but it was also a sign to the Israelites that Jesus was the Messiah. In verses 36 to 39, Jesus explains this parable to the disciples in that the one who sows the seed is Jesus himself. The field is the world. The good seed are the believers. The tares are the unbelievers. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this world, and the harvesters are the angels sent from heaven. A very clear and simple explanation. But do we as a congregation get it? Do we get it? In the sower and the seed, the first parable, Jesus prepared his disciples to understand that the kingdom program will not reach everyone. Now he is saying why even among those who receive the gospel, some will not produce fruit. The parable also introduces the idea of a season of time, a period of time which the kingdom program will operate on this earth. And by that I mean the field. Jesus also says that the growing must continue uninterrupted until the harvest time. And the harvest time is a common picture throughout the Bible of the return of Christ and the judgment he brings to earth. And that is clearly shown in these verses here, where the end of the age is represented by the harvest. And we also see where Jesus will direct his angels to separate the wheat from the tares, or the believers from the unbelievers. This will be, folks, an historic moment, because for the first time, those that are truly God's and those that are not will be truly known. And we see this clearly in verses 40 to 43, which is on your screen now. And if you read those words, there is no doubt, folks, there will be a harvest. Will you be in the wheat or the tares? But until that time, these two worlds will coexist, and it will be difficult, if not impossible, to tell apart at times. A person's heart can't be fully known. Only by the fruit can we gain a limited understanding of their heart. Do you see the expectations here of those that love the Lord? Two cars were sitting at the traffic lights when they turned green. When they turned red. And then they turned green. And the first car didn't move off. The second car started to toot his horn. And still the first car didn't move. And the driver of the second car started to get irate, and he started hammering the steering wheel, and the horn came on a bit more. Still the car didn't move. The window came down, the head went out, he started shouting, arms waving. You know what it's like. Still the car didn't move. Then the lights changed to amber, and the person in the first car woke up and sped off. There was a knock at the second car driver's window. And the policeman says to him, would you mind accompanying me down to the station? So away they went, and the policeman came back out and said to the driver, I thought you had stolen the car. Because on the back of the car was two stickers. And one said, if it's Sunday, follow me to church. And the other one said, what would Jesus do? I hope through that, folks, you can see the analogy that the Christian life, there is expectations in it. You see, in biblical times, Jews were God's people and Gentiles were dogs. There was no confusing one with the other. But now Jesus was saying that God's children and Satan's children would be hard to distinguish. And in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, we see these words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them simply, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Surely, folks, that is another stark reminder of what is expected in the Christian life. Perhaps the main point of this parable is found in verse 29, when the master says, do not uproot the wheat. A farmer, under normal circumstances, would not hesitate in removing the weeds from the field through spraying. And the machinery obviously is going to run over some of the wheat, and he might lose a few wheat plants, but the overall effect would be a greater harvest. But in this parable, the master adamantly refuses to allow the servants to remove any weeds. Why? Well, the master didn't want to lose even one single wheat plant. In other words, he cared more for the life of each of those wheat stalks than he did for the overall production in his field. You see, you and I are those wheat stalks. And Jesus' focus in planting the field of this world was to bring each of us into the kingdom. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. You see, Jesus is determined to lose none that the Father has given him. But that requires tolerating tares in the field for a time. But one day, that harvest will come, but it will also mean that Jesus is willing to tolerate less production. In the first parable in this chapter, you've seen how the seeds did not produce any fruit because they are distracted and troubled by the world, and as a result, they neglect their walk with Christ. They fail to devote time and energy to the word of the kingdom and don't produce fruit. And we are learning that this is a direct result of the schemes of the enemy. I am sure if we look at our own lives, we can see these tares all around us. Things that distract us from our godly walk, the technology that is around us, stealing our time and money, people who demand our time instead of giving it to God. Please be aware of these things, because as the Bible says, we cannot serve two masters. But you know, unfortunately, this is the reality of the kingdom program. The enemy works to reduce the Lord's yield, yet the Lord allows it because he cares for you and for me. But hold on a wee minute. Just because we know this in no way becomes an excuse for our failure to produce fruit. We cannot turn to Jesus later and claim that Satan made me do it. Rather, I think we will be embarrassed when we realize how little we resisted the devil's schemes. Don't let the enemy win in your life. Resist him, and as the Bible says, he will flee from you. In the meantime, Jesus did not want his disciples to worry that the enemy might get the upper hand in the fight for the kingdom, but that the enemy will not limit the reach of the kingdom program. I am sure the disciples probably felt very small in those days after Jesus' departure from this earth. But we can clearly see in Acts how the church grew and those wheat seeds were forming and growing. But as things grow, the enemy tries to make a home for itself in the church. And in some cases, the tares have overtaken the wheat and the church is failing to grow. I think this parable points us towards a church, or indeed a kingdom of all the people, which is constantly and actively seeking transformation, constantly seeking positive action and constantly seeking holiness. It is called to do this with wisdom, hope, joy, love. And if we are strong and determined, this will happen. Finally, in verses 40 to 43, we see the true reality of the harvest. The kingdom of the tares are harvested and burned, and the kingdom of wheat are bought into the barn and saved. You know, we live in a time when we have been given a sharp reminder about our complacency and our unpreparedness at so many levels. For a pandemic which has shaken the foundations of how we live and care for one another everywhere. COVID-19 is a sharp reminder to us about the shortcomings of how we live. For many, COVID has brought a harvest to those that have not survived. Are we ready to be in the harvest of the wheat? John 5:29 says, "Come out, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." When you truly see, as I said at the start, a lovely field of wheat with practically no weeds, it looks absolutely beautiful. But you know, wheat has ears. And to get that field of wheat to look as good as it is, we need to listen and respond. And when the harvest comes along, and it will, we will rejoice with Jesus about the light we have shone in the darkness and those that have joined us in the kingdom of God. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen.